Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Kosher Tidbits. Today we're going to talk about partridges. When we talk about the kashrus of a bird, in general, there are numerous species, thousands of species of birds, and the Torah in Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Devarim list 24 birds which are forbidden. The logical deduction is that any bird which is not included on the forbidden species list would be permitted. The Gemara in Chulin provides certain physical characteristics through which the kosher and the non-kosher birds can be differentiated. And although there are many poskim that follow the thought processes of the Gemara and feels that we can identify birds by simonim, by their signs, by their physical characteristics, the view of the Ramah, and this has become the accepted ruling for the Ashkenazi and in this instance a great part of the Sephardi Jewish community, that a kosher bird is not accepted as fit for kosher consumption unless there is a misora, a tradition of permissibility. A misora, the tradition of permissibility, is understood that teacher to student for generations have been transmitting the features and the identification of the specific birds which are kosher and which can be consumed. As logic would dictate, over the thousands of years of Jewish history, this list has gotten progressively smaller. And while at the time of the Gemara, there were myriads of species of birds which were accepted as kosher, in our own time, we're down to just a few dozen species of birds which are accepted as kosher, and even fewer species which are consumed. The partridge represents a unique situation regarding the misora, the tradition of permissibility. Everybody knows, at least the older sheikhtim from Europe, many of the older rabbanim from Europe, were aware that the partridge was kosher. The question was which partridge was the partridge which was known to be kosher. There are many species which are called partridges, which are related to partridges, which are like partridges. And what the OU tried to do was to track down the precise species for which there was a misora in Europe, for which there was a tradition of permissibility, and it was known to be kosher. From the Torah, it's unclear if partridge is mentioned or not. It's possible that certain of the people in the Torah, one of the Benos Tzlafchad, Chagla, perhaps she was named after a partridge. It's unclear, and even if she was, the ramifications for the kashrus of the partridge are not clear. Yirmiyahu discusses a certain partridge, Koredagar Velo Yalad, in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. But again, from that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's also not clear if the partridge was a kosher bird or non-kosher bird. It's also not clear if the Korah is actually a partridge. The one place in Tanakh where the Korah, identified as a partridge by most of the Rishonim, is mentioned and is hinted to being a kosher bird is in Sefer Shmuel, Perek Chafvav. There, when David is running away from Shaul, he is consistently trying to appease Shaul and to get Shaul, the first king of Israel, to sort of calm down. Shaul, who was anointed to be the king of the Jewish people, felt that David was a challenge to his kingship, and David was to become the future David HaMelech, and he dedicated a tremendous amount of resources to hunting down David and ultimately trying to capture David. At what point in Sefer Shmuel, Perek Chafvav, David turns to Shaul and he says to Shaul, "I don't understand why you're chasing me. Why has the Melech Yisrael gone out to hunt me down, Levakesh, to hunt me, Kasher Yerdof HaKorah Baharim?" Like somebody would hunt a Korah in the Harim. As we said before, many of the Rishonim understand the Korah to be a partridge. And David is saying to Shaul, "Why are you chasing me the way one would chase a partridge?" Presumably, if David is insinuating that the Melech Yisrael, the king of the Jewish people, was hunting a partridge, he would only hunt a partridge if it was a kosher bird. Of course, on the basis of this alone, we can't deduce anything that's concrete. Many of the Rishonim on the Pasuk indicate that the Korah is a kosher bird, but of course, it's not so clear that this is necessarily a partridge. Similarly, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Lametet, and in Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Chav Dalet, discusses a bird which many of the Rishonim translate into their local languages into a word that many linguists think is a partridge. And in both of those Gemaras, the indication is that the partridge, if the bird they're discussing is actually a partridge, is a kosher bird. But of course, to correlate this with a partridge that we can identify as a specific species, not just one of the birds that's linguistically referred to as a partridge, the Gemara does not give us enough details about the bird that we could make any of these conclusive assumptions. When the OU was trying to identify the partridge, we focused on two kinds of partridge. These two partridges are not related. There's one kind of partridge which is known as the gray partridge, sometimes the Hungarian partridge. In Latin, it's called the Perdix perdix. And the other partridge which we looked into was the Alectoris partridges, which represent a group of partridges which are often referred to as red partridges. With regards to the Hungarian partridge, also known as the gray partridge or the Perdix partridge, the tradition of permissibility was very strong. Many Shaykhtim and experts in ornithology, including Rabbi Levinger, were aware of the Mesorah of the tradition to eat these birds, which existed in Europe prior to the Holocaust. And as a result, there was really no suffix that the Perdix partridges were kosher, and that while the Jews were living in the lands of Europe, the acceptability of the partridge was somewhat widespread. In contrast, the Alectoris partridge represented a slightly more detailed problem. The Alectoris partridges are a group of species, and these species are found throughout much of the Old World, throughout Europe, throughout the Caucasus. They're found in the Middle East, they're found in Yemen and in North Africa. However, the species of Alectoris, there are seven species which make up the Alectoris family group of partridges, and these partridges are localized. There is a specific partridge, the Philby's partridge, which is found only in certain parts of Yemen. There's another Alectoris partridge, which is known as the Barbary partridge. It's found in North Africa. There's a red-legged partridge, which is found in Europe, and there is a Chukar partridge, which was found in the southern Caucasus. And in each of these areas, there's an indication, some of them stronger than others, that the Jews accepted these specific Alectoris species of partridge as kosher. However, because of the specific areas in which these partridges were found, there was no widespread Mesorah for any of the individual species of Alectoris partridges, which means that the red-legged partridge was definitely accepted by the Jews of Italy as kosher. Livorno specifically, the Mesorah, quote in the Zivchei Kohen, specifically quotes that the red-legged partridge is kosher. The Chukar partridge was accepted as kosher, and we have testimony from many Shoichtim that it was accepted in the Caucasus. But this doesn't represent the huge portion of the diaspora, especially given to the fact that the average person could not afford partridge if it was kosher. So the question was, with the Alectoris partridge, could we say that really there was one species of partridge with regional variations? And even though science classifies the Alectoris partridges as seven individual species, perhaps some of them could be combined and assume that really it's just one or two species of partridge and they look different in different places because of regional variations. In order to accomplish this research, we of course procured a number of species of partridges, in addition to interviewing the breeders who were raising the partridges. One of the things we discovered was that the Chukar partridge, as well as the red-legged partridge, two species of the Alectoris partridge family group, that both of these birds were raised in America, but for different purposes. The Chukar partridge was raised for meat, and the red-legged partridge was raised for hunting. When we spoke to the game wardens, they told us that the red-legged partridges were much more exciting to hunt, but they were very often hybridized with chukar partridge to maintain a certain degree of genetic diversity. Similarly, the farmers that were raising chukar partridges for the meat market often hybridized their chukar partridges with the red-legged partridge in order to, once again, make sure there was a significant degree of genetic diversity. The resulting offspring of these hybridizations were fertile, and depending on the percentage of parentage that was either red-legged or chukar, the bird would look more similar to either the chukar or the red-legged. And ultimately, if the overwhelming majority of the parentage was either chukar or red-legged, the bird would look just like all the other either red-legged or chukar partridges, except for the fact that its genetic diversity would be enhanced because it had the genes of the introduced hybrids. When all of these birds were presented at the OU, they were presented to various people in the meat department as well as Rabbi Belsky. They were presented individually, and then we put them all together in the same cage. And what we noticed was that all the partridges were, aside from being approximately the same size, had pretty much almost identical body structure. And the feathers also were not always the same color, but they were very similar in their structure. As a result, particularly in the case of the red-legged and the chukar partridge, it was determined that these two birds, which looked very similar, and you can look at the pictures which will be accompanying this presentation, these birds not only look the same, but they also were able to hybridize and produce viable offspring, that they were the same species, and they just represented regional variations of one large species. The birds from the top, the colors were almost the same. The primary difference was when you looked at the bird in the face, there were differences in the coloring of the feathers. At this time, the OU does certify chukar partridge, red-legged partridge, and they're available seasonally in some of the OU restaurants. Thank you for listening to Kosher Tidbits.